This is Teaching Bible Radio.
Welcome to Teaching Bible Radio, the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri, featuring pastor-teacher Landis Fisher, exploring your world through the Word of God. Let's join our teacher for another thought-provoking adventure from the Bible, which is available in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. Here's our teacher, Pastor Fisher.
Last week, we had a guest speaker who spoke on the same verses that we had spoken on also the week before. And the reason we're still on this, I prayed over this throughout the week, and I couldn't get away from these verses because there are some very, very important and powerful things that God has said. And there's just some things that I think we need to take note of because these are very critical things in our times. Anytime you look in the Bible and see a list of descriptive adjectives that long, I think this is the longest list in the Bible of descriptive adjectives that are negative, speaking about a particular behavior that takes place in the world. Now, it's not a new thing. We think, a lot of us today think, that sin of this sort and homosexuality running rampant is a new thing, but actually it's an old thing. It's been going on. It was going on all the way back in the book of Genesis in the 19th chapter. We saw that earlier. We saw it in the period of the judges. We see it repeatedly throughout the scripture, and we find that God had passed judgment on it, but it continues on, and there is a reason for why this particular sin has such a powerful grip. And many sins are of that sort, and so we wanted to take more time today just to speak to that, because this is the kind of stuff we need to really help us. And also, if a person hasn't went down that avenue, it's very important for us to make sure that we see how heinous that avenue is so that we don't even think about approaching that type of thing. Realize this, though, that no particular sin is any worse than any other. That was one of the questions that we asked. And all sin is a problem, and it does have a possibility to grip us and hold us within its grip if we don't find out what is the solution to have power over the grip of sin. And so this is very critical, because I believe that's what Paul is alluding to. We looked in this chapter number one, and we found some very interesting things. We find that Paul was determined, he had determined in the book of Acts, as some of you were with me when we studied through the book of Acts. We saw in the book of Acts in one point when Paul said he was determined that after he went to Jerusalem that he would certainly also want to go to Rome. And so he was trying to get to Rome because Rome would kind of be the equivalent of if we went to Washington, D.C. in America to protest, or to actually not to protest, but to proclaim our reason and the thing that we're doing. Rome at that time was the seat of power in the world, pretty much like America is today. Today, when issues are coming up and people want to really make a statement about what they believe, they take up at the in Washington, D.C., out in front of the Capitol, and they go there and present their case, and that way it gets widespread media attention, and people all over the world know about the particular gathering. And so in these days, Paul wanted to go to Rome with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because Rome was the very power head of the nations at that time. They were in charge of the whole world. They were kind of like America is today in the world. But yet Rome was also in a similar situation to how we are today, and the fact that from within, Rome was about to crush, crumble, crash, and burn, and come down and no longer be the great empire that it had been for many years. And it tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman. So he sent Jesus Christ into the world right at that time, right at the time when one of the greatest empires that ever existed in the history of the world, which is the Roman Empire, was at its very peak, and it was just about to disintegrate from the inside because of such things as homosexuality that had taken run rampant through the culture and was about to destroy it from the inside. A lot of people don't know that. You don't hear a lot of talk about that today. But when you see people talking about in our culture now the same kind of thing, legalizing same-sex marriage and all the type of things that go with that, cloning and abortion, all these things that cover over promiscuity that runs rampant through the land, then you know we're probably right on the threshold of that same time as it was in the Roman culture when Paul writes this letter and took time to give all these details, graphic, descriptive adjectives one after another, speaking about the situation there in the city of Rome. And so we want to take a little more time just in this text just to talk about this a little bit. But before we do, I want to just move into the next chapter, just to the first verse. And I didn't actually print it on your handout, but you can open your Bible, take a look right here in the book of Romans. You'll see these words. And this is the reason why I think we need to do this. I wanted this message today to bridge between chapter number 1 and chapter number 2 for all of you who are here. You've been here for the previous messages, and some of you online have heard the previous message. But I want you to see Paul's conclusion here in chapter 2, verse number 1. It says this: "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." He's speaking to other people now, such as people who may not practice these particular sins. Verse 3, he says, "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" So he's saying to everybody else, just because that list was so horrible, you think that you can take judgment against those people, but what about yourself, is what he's asking. And so we see that he's saying that all sin comes into that category, but that sin has a tendency to take you down, and this is the end result of what has happened when sin has had its way in your life. It'll take you into a thing where it takes a multitude of descriptive adjectives to describe what's going on in a person's life when they have allowed themselves to decay and given themselves over to sin. So what he's saying, essentially, we have, how many know what an idiom is? How many of you have heard the term an idiom? These are figures of speech that we use to talk about various things. They're actually figurative. They're not necessarily literal. We don't take them exactly for what they mean. But this is kind of what we would use this particular idiom to describe what Paul has just said. How many have heard the term that the pot was calling the kettle black? Have you ever heard that, when the pot calls the kettle black? That's an idiom. That means that here it is, you got the pot on the stove and the kettle sitting on the stove, and they both have been sitting there on the stove so long, and they've been cooked for so many years till that they're all both black on the outside, and the pot looks over to the kettle and says, "Hey, you know, you were black and dirty, you know," and he doesn't realize that he himself is also black and dirty because he's sitting there in the same fix. And so when the pot calls the kettle black, we use that as an idiom, basically a part of speech to say that someone else is actually, what is true of someone else is also true of you. And so we see Paul uses that type of an idiom here. He's a little bit more point blank in Romans 2 because he says, "Who do you think you are, old man? Are you excused from your faults just because I just gave you this awful list of what sin does to people who end up crashing into homosexuality?" He says, "But sin itself is an ugly thing altogether, whether anyone is doing it or not." So he's given us a stern warning. We may not be entangled in that particular sin, but sin, period, has a way of getting a grip on us and taking us down if we're not careful. But what the reason that this is important is that the gospel is the only thing that gives us power over the grip of sin. And it may not be necessarily always an instantaneous thing, but it is a building thing, a thing that God gives you, and it builds up in your life and gives you more and more power as you go. I was very interested studying some of those idioms. So many of them you've heard, and I was surprised to see how many come directly out of the Bible. When I started to look at them, we hear so many of them, and I didn't highlight the ones, basically. But we always say, for example, "Oh, you should have saw the handwriting on the wall." And we'll talk about that. And that came right out of Daniel, where there was a handwriting on the wall, basically. Or we say, "Oh, that person was a good Samaritan who stopped and helped so-and-so." And, of course, that's right from one of the teachings of Jesus. And there are so many of them that are idioms that come right from the Bible. And I was glad to see that the person who on the website where I looked, he actually did give credit to the scriptures and to the Lord Jesus and Daniel and the writers of the Old Testament for many of the idioms that are there. So idioms are kind of interesting. They're used by God quite often in the Word of God. They help us to understand various things. Now, some of them, of course, are modern ones that we don't too much deal with. Like, for example, "If I could be a fly on the wall," we say sometimes. And we just mean that if we could be inside of a place and not be noticed that we're there and hear what goes on inside those closed walls. And these type of things. There's so many. I was looking at them. We'll probably talk a little bit more about these as we go along. But what I want you to see today, as we bridge the gap here, that Paul says he doesn't want us to be like the pot calling the kettle black. You see, just because somebody else is struggling, going through changes, so we're not here bashing anybody who's struggling with any of these sins. This is the thing I wanted you to see. And I wanted to say today that we have a problem, all of us. Every one of us, from the podium clear to the end of the church, and in all in the world, have to be careful how we deal with these problems. And if God takes time to delineate a list like that, there are several other lists too in the Bible. This is, of course, seems like to be the longest one. I looked at a couple of other ones just to give some light to how long this list is. In the book of Galatians, there is a list. It talks about the deeds of the flesh. And it reads kind of like this. I'm just going to hit this one. I'll not do them all, but I want you to see that there are some other lists like this that are similar in describing the effects of sin and being separated from God. He says here in Galatians chapter 5, let's take a look here. I got to switch my page here. I got a different Bible here today. Galatians chapter 5, we see in verse number 16, Paul says this, writing to the church at Galatia. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You know, the interesting thing about verse 16 is he didn't say you would not have the lust of the flesh. If you're saved, that does not mean that you're exempt from having the flesh working against you. You see, he didn't say you would have the lust of the flesh. He said you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, these two are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. In other words, if it wasn't for God's Spirit in you, you might respond when the flesh rises up and tries to entice you to do something that you know is ungodly. He says, "But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Here goes the list. "Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like." He just cut that one off and said anything in that vein is all from the works of the flesh. These are the kind of things. But there's a blow-by-blow list of negative description that we need to pay attention to. All of these things come from the flesh and not from the Spirit of God. And he says, "And as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." He says it's very plain. People practicing these things as a lifestyle shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, somebody would say this is the dark side of Christianity. They like to say, "Oh, God loves us," and he does. There's no question about it. And he would never cast us into hell. But God has given us several lists of bad behavior that salvation is supposed to remove from our lives. You see that? We should not be found practicing those things. And when they tempt us in the flesh, the Holy Spirit is the only one that can give us power over the grip of sin in our lives. The Spirit of God is the only one that can do that. Now, does that mean I'm going to instantly quit everything all at once? Probably not. Unfortunately, it's sad to me to say that, you know, all that stuff doesn't just go away all at one time. Because you know what? God knows He made us free moral agents. He wants you to submit to His will from your own heart. You see, and when we submit to His will from our own heart, we'll find these things are being done less and less and less, and we'll yield to the Spirit of God more and more and more. And basically, these lists are here to let you know that God has given us all of the information we need right up front, that this is the kind of stuff that is would disqualify us from the kingdom of God. It would prove that we have not been walking.
Teaching Bible Radio is listener-funded radio. Write us at P.O. Box 10123, St. Louis, Missouri 63145. Call us toll-free 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253. Or visit us online at teachingbible.org, a ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri.